Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heal My Voice Radio. This is a show that is dedicated to providing information and engaging in conversations that support women, listening to their inner voice, reclaiming personal power. I just reclaimed some of my personal power there because I know Monisha has some things in the background. I just muted her. So anyway, we're here to support women in reconnecting to their inner authority, reclaiming personal power, empowering women through the exploration and healing of their stories. That is our mission. My name is Andrea Hyland, and I am the founder of Heal My Voice. Let me make sure I'm not on mute, which is what happened with a show I started a few days ago. Okay, so I am here. In the Heal My Voice projects, we create environments for empowering women and girls to heal a story in their life and to connect with their inner authority and innate wisdom. This is wisdom they were born with that has been covered up by trauma, grief, loss, and change, and even experiences where they were told to sit down and shut up. This is the subtle, covert, and overt ways our voices have been turned down. We believe healing an old story leads women to a richer expression of their unique gifts and leadership and gives them access to all of their wisdom. For other online writing programs, go to healmyvoice.org. You'll find 10 books from Heal My Voice and Heal My Voice Sweden, as well as resources for grief and healing. And in 2008, there will be study guides to go with all the books as we begin a 3-year celebration of women's stories. This is the fourth of 7 radio shows highlighting the contributing authors leading up to the launch of the book, Innovative Voices, True Stories by Women Awakening a New World. This is the completion of a 9-month process where women went deeply into a story from their past to explore a personal awakening. The radio shows are a way for each of us to speak about the experience as we integrate the things we learned into our day-to-day life and to help you awaken to your own stories. So before I bring on the two authors, I want to ask you something. When you hear the word innovation, what or who do you think of? Innovation. Do you think of a famous inventor or entrepreneur? Do you think of a leading-edge Fortune 500 company or a startup? Do you think of a Nobel Peace Prize winner? Do you think of yourself as an innovator? Or how about the woman you're standing next to in the grocery line? Or the woman who is running an online business, or the woman who is playing with her child at the playground. Well, in an inspirational TED Talk called The Art of Innovation, Demis Michaelides describes 3 ways to innovate. The first way, innovation can be very radical or breakthrough. This is the one where we may be the most common with. New products, processes, landing a man on the moon is an innovation. The second way is when you redefine something that's already in existence. The example is furniture is not a new idea, but IKEA manufactures furniture in a very differentiated, innovative way. But the third way is often overlooked, and that is where there is continuous improvement, lots of small change all the time. And these are the conversations we have been having over the last 9 months about that we are everyday innovators. And awakening a new world comes from each of us making choices and decisions that have continuous improvement, lots of small change all the time. All right, so let's start. I have two guests today, Sophia Wren and Monisha Mittal. And we're going to start with Sophia. And let me just tell you something about Sophia before I bring her onto the line. Sophia Wren helps writers and creatives ready to get themselves out there in a bigger way to make faster progress on their writing and creative business projects. She guides them to get comfortable being seen for who they truly are and to expose their work and message to more people. She is a certified coach, a world-class healer, and currently studies at Loyola Baltimore in the MA program for spiritual and pastoral care. She is dedicated both to service and to embracing the complete individuality of creative freedom. Receive a free sample of her forthcoming memoir, Freedom Year, at sophiawren.com. So, Sophia, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me here.
It's so good to hear your voice. Your story is called Going My Own Way. And as a way of bringing the audience into your story, I just invite you to read some of your story or give a summary, whatever you would like to do to bring us into your story.
Sure. I'm actually loading up my story right this second, but I will give a little summary. So participating in Hear My Voice, it's interesting how everything evolves. So when I first sat down to work on it, I was thinking, okay, I really feel called to talk about my relationship with money and how that's changed and how I've found freedom from some limiting feelings and beliefs there. But it really became something entirely different in the end. And kind of the question of, like, what is independence, really? Is it money? Going my own way is about, you know, living my own life and not using some outside way to define it. So I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit of my story to give you a sense. And just give me 1 second. Going my own way. And I wanted to say also that in the process of editing, I was really really recommended by Andrea and from Marie, who's also on the team, like to really try to avoid having blame language like towards other people in it. So I will say a little bit about that because that was a challenge for me, and I was really trying to embrace that, and I didn't end up learning a lot. So we can talk about that in a bit. But what I really wanted was to be connected. I wanted a mother. I wanted to be nurtured. I so wanted love. But at a very young age, I came to believe that this urge to connect was deeply wrong. I hid it the best I could. Slowly, I've released more of who I really am. Letting myself feel and know my deepest needs is more peaceful now and less like a battle. There is dignity in my desires. Having needs does not make me an inferior child. Wanting what I want and feeling what I feel is my constant path back to my natural harmony, even when it challenges me to release control and to let people see my true nature. A week before my birth, my mother knew something was wrong. She went to the doctor's office, reporting that her water had broken, but no contractions had started. The doctor didn't believe her, my father would tell me later on. They sent her home, and when I was born a week later, I had a fever. The fever was so intense that I was sent by helicopter to Boston Logan, a bigger hospital in the city. During that journey in the sky, I was traveling alone from Martha's Vineyard until relatives could meet me on the ground. I was up in the air, surrounded by strangers, and the overwhelming sounds of the chopper. I was a helicopter baby. I can't imagine that I liked the experience at all. I bet that little baby was in quite a state, angry, upset, even from her mother and father and family. I probably was crying and thinking to myself, this isn't fair. I didn't sign up for this. this life was supposed to be easier than this. Where are my mom and dad? I'm here. Does anyone even care? That feeling of being ripped apart would be one I would come back to regularly in my own life. And since so many things in the world didn't make sense, often I made my own sense. Unfortunately, when bad things happened, blaming myself became my default. And I'm going to just skip forward a little bit. I'm going to skip down to where I talk about a little bit more of what I learned. Okay. I used to think that once I got things figured out, then everything would be okay. And I would never have a care in the world. But that is not how it works for me. Despite how much I achieve, I'm always going to feel things. There's love and nurturing, now and always, no matter what.
Let's take a breath on that. One thing, Sophia, that I want to reflect on is that, during the month of July, one of the innovative ways that arose in Heal My Voice in this project was to do writing labs online on Zoom. And Marie Eklipnovska, who is the founder of Heal My Voice Sweden, really jumped in to be a part of to bring her expertise during those writing labs also. And, I want to highlight something that when you were talking about the blaming and everything, is that there's these different layers of, it's important to get all the feelings out, right? So to start with the, like, I've got anger, I'm blaming, or even noticing the resistance. Like, I feel like every woman who's ever written anything in Heal My Voice says, this is such an old story. I don't want to write about this. I'm ready to just be done with this. I want to talk about where I am in my life right now. But it's like touching that place from the past. Actually, there's so much power that's tied up in claiming it as part of your life. I feel like because of your, you help writers and creatives, and you have in writing. I feel like I'd like to just jump into you talking about the value of writing and in whatever way you want to talk about that, because I really saw it with you where, you want to talk about money, like your relationship with money, but it just, this story kept, there was something to write about your mother and finding your voice in your household and all the other layers that you talked about. So I'm going to be quiet and just have you share whatever you're inspired to share.
Yeah, writing has been a huge tool for me. And I first started getting into it after college when I was really trying to figure out my path and what I was going to do in my career. And that's kind of been like, if I think about my life and what has been a big focus, like career has been like a huge thing. And it's just kind of part of how I was raised to really be expecting that nobody was going to be taking care of me and that I needed to take care of myself. And it's a good thing to know, but the energy of it was very negative for me and very lonely because I didn't have a lot of feeling supported as a teenager. And so when I was writing to try to find out, what am I going to be when I grow up? What am I going to do? I started to get into the past. I started to write about the past. And what I usually start with writing about, if I'm going to write about the past and something that I feel like is blocking me, I'm going to start talking about my stepmother. And I didn't read about that today, but that is in the story. And that's what originally the money baggage stuff that came from conversations from her. And so writing is really helpful to kind of get some distance from traumatic events. And so if there's been things that maybe you wouldn't feel comfortable, shouting from the top of a roof, but it's really in your mind or you feel like it's blocking you, then writing it out and then kind of editing it and thinking about, well, what's important about the story or what was I feeling in that moment? And it can be very validating. So that's kind of where we started. And then we kind of followed the process where it wanted to go, and it wanted. I didn't really want in the end write about money. It was really more about feeling loved and feeling my feelings and not judging the feelings. And so, like, there's things that have happened, and then there's things that we judge about what's happened, and there's things that we've meanings we make out of it. So a lot of the meaning that I had made out of the past that really made it even more traumatic was that it wasn't okay to have these feelings of sadness or wishing I had a mom or this and that. It was just not safe to go there. And so I did have some experiences where I really felt like I was humiliated for having deep feelings, and I just sort of shut them down. So that really made it difficult to live life, because I couldn't know what I needed. I couldn't know what I desired. I couldn't know what I thought was not okay. I would allow people to tread over my boundaries because I didn't know what my preference was. I didn't know how to set a boundary, because everything was so muddled up without being tapped into my feelings. So writing really helped the feelings to come out, and for me to start to see patterns and look at things in new ways. It's just so amazing for so many reasons. So that's been a part of, like, my daily habits for almost 10 years now. And it's really, really changed my life. And so I'm very passionate about, you know, helping other people to write and to help other people work through things through writing, or to just make it a part of their day. And it's incredible. So I'm very passionate about writing, yes.
Well, I want to reflect back also is that, you know, starting with the writing of Relationship with Money, when you really look at how you got to that place, well, first of all, asking yourself questions. So, for instance, what is independence? You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to write about my relationship with money, but wait, independence is what I'm looking for. What is independence? And then going down to the layers where you got to the feeling loved or feeling unloved, you know, and having a desire to feel loved. Mm-hmm. When you shared that, what I said was, well, because of course, that is the root we go down into, and then that affects our relationship with money, our relationship with our bodies, our relationship with people, right? So it's like looking at the relationship with money, actually you have to go deeper within that place.
It's like the hidden agenda, kind of. It's like,
yes,
here's what I set as the goal of, like, the most important thing I need to figure out and achieve and go get. But underneath of it was really this hidden agenda that I really just wanted to feel loved. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really about money. That was just going to be a means to an end.
What I've noticed in the process of writing, my own writing, and also working with women, is that it's almost like going down a series of stairs. So if I'm focused right now on, for instance, the top of my head, and then I go into my head and I think about, oh, I'm going to write this. I'm thinking about it from my head. But then I take it down a little bit further and I can feel a connection to my heart. And the thing that I've noticed, I'd love to hear your experience with this, is that the thing that I've noticed is that people kind of stop at this place that feels heart-centered. But where I want to take women is keep going down into the root. Like, if you know chakras, it's like get down into the root chakra of the story. Or another image is let's open the door to the basement and let's go down even further to find, you know, go down, down, down. And that's why I feel like we did things like listening and writing labs and weekly community calls and everything else. So what's your experience with working with writers and creatives or whatever I just shared? What does that bring up for you?
Yeah, I think of it, it's really interesting how when we're working on a creative process, the kinds of things that come up for us that get in the way or are challenges. You know, I don't want to make them seem like they're bad things, but they'll be reflections of stuff that's going on in other areas of our life. So it's when you work on the creative process, then you have to kind of face your demons in a way that in other kinds of processes where you're just following a equation, you don't necessarily have to, because it's like you're not really working for yourself in a sense. When you're being creative and you're creating yourself, like, so much of you is going to come forward, including things that maybe you wish were a little different, or maybe things that aren't really like helping you, but they're just a part of you. So if you're really committed to some kind of result of the process, then it kind of forces you to like face those things. So it's almost kind of like for example, in psychology, there's something called attachment theory, which I've always hated because it's very much like about the relationship you have with your mom. And I was like, oh no, I'm doomed because I lost mine. But the idea is that we have these like structural relationships that then other relationships get modeled off of. So it's like the structure is there. Let's say like I'm anxious about losing my mom. So then I might insert other people there. I might say, okay, well, if I publish this book, I'm anxious about this person's opinion. Or if I do this painting, I'm anxious about what this person's going to think. And it's really not about that person. It's just a pattern that we've had, and we just sort of plug in different content. So that's just an example of, like, these interesting things come up in the creative process, and we think it's about whatever's going on today, but it could really have roots that are much deeper, and that by really allowing yourself to go there, you can have some huge transformations happen. And it can be really cool because you can be really happy with what you end up creating in the end, too. So all kinds of wins.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like you just answered this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why do you feel like for creative people, and creativity is a wide range. So I just want to say that, like, creativity is the person who has a business where they organize a house, or they're a painter, or they are writers. You know, there's wide. So I want to bring in, first of all, wide ranges of creativity. Even in something where you may not feel like it's creative, but their creativity comes in all places. Why do you feel like when we start these creative projects and we're in them that we have to face our demons? Like, why do the demons, and again, I know you were talking about attachment theory and the roots, but I'm just going to ask it again. Why do you think we have to face our demons in order to really get out there in a bigger way? I guess that's how I'll ask it.
Well, I feel like the creative process is really spiritual, and I know you do too, from talking to you. So it's, you know, I gave one answer, it's more of psychological, but then the other answer too is that inspiration is incredibly divine and magical, and to me it's like the pinnacle of goodness, to be inspired to create something and then to have it be this new wholesome thing that came out of you that's so great. And it's like, where did that come from? On one hand, maybe it came from me and I can say it's mine and that can feel really good. But on the other hand, maybe I'm a vessel for something bigger and we're using all of ourselves. We're using like more of our brain than we would for maybe other tasks, just like more of our soul richness, our emotional experience. Maybe we're getting our hands involved. Like, there's so much more of us involved in a creative process, whether that's chopping up vegetables and making a soup or sitting down writing a chapter for a book. And so to grow spiritually, we have to shed whatever was holding us back, whatever was holding us in a smaller space. So that's part of why, to really bring forward this new thing, we have to close some doors and shed the past. And in doing so, we have to face our inner demons to do that.
Mm. I love that the words you just were ending with, the shedding of the past. And, yeah, I feel like part of the spiritual experience, part of that word, that connection to spirit, it's like shedding the past, but not dismissing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's power. Mm-hmm. There's power in the, I see it as like a, you know, a quilt where all these different experiences become quilt squares of memories, but not things that have to dominate or run our lives. And that's why we have to shed, why we have to shed them.
Right, avoid them.
Yeah.
Or throw them
right.
under the rug, you know.
Yeah. Or thinking
still
you're
in the
done
quilt.
With it. Yeah, and thinking you're done with it. Because actually, even in your life, you're going to go through cycle after cycle where you revisit these things. They're amazing, like never to discount the experiences that you have. And just like you might go back and look at all the different quilt squares, those memories, I mean, I like to say it's like, wow, the first time I saw a double rainbow when I went to Hawaii, it's like, just even saying it, like I can feel the buzzing in my body. I can feel the excitement. Like, I don't want to forget that. Well, if I don't forget, you know, if I want to remember that, I also need to remember the other things that were happening that might not be in the pleasant category, but I don't have to let them dominate my life either.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just
and you can
ask
draw
you
new
a,
meaning out of it. I just wanted to say, and you can draw new meaning
yes.
out of it. You can take the squares, relate to them, each other differently, and that to me is like to take something meaningless and broken feeling, and to then create meaning and beauty out of it is just one of the most beautiful things you can do.
I want to like connect that new meaning into just asking you, what did you learn from this process that's helping you go deeper into finishing your memoir, Freedom Year?
Wow, I really learned a lot. I really got in touch with a lot of like really deep feelings and been working through those. And there was a stuckness going on with my writing before, and now I've just been much more in my editing, like daily, and just really involved in it again. And what I realized was there's a lot of embarrassment and self-judgment that, and just seeing that as a theme, you know, and anger and things that I just never really got to get out, and to be able to see that and have the supportive community to really hold a space for that was really helpful. So that's helped a lot.
Well, I'm going to open up the line to Monisha's line and just see if she has any questions for you or reflections on what you've been saying, and then we'll transition into Monisha's story. But Monisha, I have you unmuted.
Thanks, Andrea.
Are you there? Okay. Do you have anything Yes. Do you have anything you want to ask Sophia or reflect on with what she was sharing?
Yeah. One thing I wanted to reflect on was very early on when she was speaking, and I loved the phrase, you know, it was something like when things didn't make sense, I found I had to make my own sense. And I just want to offer the reflection that that's also a lovely answer to, you know, how do we think of innovation? It's that's very much offering the new when someone's making their own sense, you know, and using that to make their way. That's innovative.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a great
and
one.
And you'll have to forgive me if you did touch on it, but I, just because I resonated with it so much, I was curious, you know, you talked about, you talked about being raised not to expect support from anyone, monetarily as we come of age and look out to our careers. And how when you got beneath and you talked about being like there was a fear of being alone, which is, I think, the piece I really resonated with. And I just was curious if through the writing, when you got to the bottom of realizing it was the fear of not being loved, what happened after that realization, you know, through the writing? I mean, I'm sure there was something more after that, and I was just curious what your experience was like.
Yeah, there's a phrase that's popping out of me from the chapter I wrote too. It says, the true work is to love myself somehow, even in the moments of feeling broken, when I feel like I'm more or less than I want myself to be. And that's really important, because I think I was waiting until, you know, I earned that love. You know, I really earned that sense of it's safe now, I can feel supported, I can feel loved. You know, I've achieved this level of independence, or I'm now making enough money, or what, you know, whatever that is in the future, was always in the future. And there was never the rest and feeling like I could receive. But now it's like, yeah, so maybe I'm a mess. But I probably need love more on the days when I feel like a mess than on the days when I feel like I have all my shit together. I probably need it way more. And I need to let go of the judgment that that's a one-day type of feeling to feel loved and love myself now.
I toast to that. Thank you so much.
Yes. I'm raising my coffee cup to that one right now.
Yeah, babe. And it's great because writing can be like a practice where you start to, you know, like to start to realize like, wow, I need to do this work on my own to love my messy self. But also it kind of gave me the first couple steps, and then I could start to like open up to others and be like, hey, do you want to read this writing? Or, hey, like, I'm messy today. Can you send me some good vibes on Facebook? You know, and then it was like the first step to opening up and letting other people love too. And that's huge.
Beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. So as we're transitioning here, Sophia, do you have anything? So I know that I read that people can go to sophiawren.com. It's also on the show page to just click on your website to receive a free sample of your forthcoming memoir, Freedom Year. Is there anything else you want to let the listeners know about that you're doing? Any events coming up?
Sure. Yes. Yes. There's a free chapter on my site, and free. I think it's a couple chapters, four chapters, of Freedom Year. And then also, I really believe in intuition, and that's how the inspiration moves and the creativity, and whatever we're trying to grow into, it's trying to happen through our intuition. So if somebody gets a call and they're kind of like, oh, I'd like to talk to her more or learn more, or maybe she could help me with this project, then they can also contact me on the contact page on the site and ask if we can just have a nice chat sometime, and I can talk to them and ask questions and give insight or recommendation as to what I could do, or if there's something else I think might help them, I will pass that along, books, blogs, et cetera. So that's something they can do. If you feel the call, feel free to reach out. We can chat.
Fantastic. Thank you. All right, so Sophia's going to still stay with us and hopefully come have a reflection from Manisha in a little bit. I'm going to just read about Manisha is, actually, I have a few more lines on a bio right here, so I just want to call this up. Okay, Manisha Mittal is a trained facilitator, organizational consultant, and expert on internal communication. As chief listener at Mittal Accelerated Communication, Manisha helps organizational clients design, visualize, and present stories that build authentic connection with their audience. She is also researching communications training products that deepen and accelerate workforce engagement and performance. Manisha holds a BS in economics from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, and a Master in Public Policy from Harvard University's Kennedy School, and recently completed a design and public policy fellowship at the Rhode Island School of Design. You can follow her on acuriouspointofview.wordpress.org, and her website is forthcoming, monishamittal.com, and the links are on the webpage also. So I'm going to open up this line, Monisha, and I'm going to invite you to read some of your story, give the listeners a summary, whatever you want to do to bring us into your story, which is called Between Safety and Sacred. All right, you're on. You're live now.
Thank you. So the background for my story is that at the start of the year, I basically entered a year of a lot of change in my life. I stepped away from a full-time job, and I went into this undefined, unstructured period of time, you know, which I called a sabbatical. And the story is really about so many shifts, I guess, that occurred during this time. But I think the main thing that I would want to convey to readers, and I'll read from an excerpt in just a second, that my whole experience this year is that there were really two layers or two levels or two planes in which things were happening. So one was the top layer, like the superficial layer, and that's the place, that's the reality that everyone else sees. And it's the one that I was so enmeshed in, and I was so concerned about pulling together, you know, a story that made sense to everyone else. But then there was a second layer, and it was a deeper layer, and it was what was really happening to me. And it wasn't just to me, but it was for me. So it was like the why of what was happening and how it was happening for me. And that superficial layer in all so many words is really around clinging to safety. Obviously, there's only so much the mind can handle, really, especially mine, when it comes to the unknown. And, but the underneath layer is really the sacred. And, I just keep being reminded that I can't forget that who I am, and by extension, who we each all are, is sacred. Why we have come here is sacred, and who we are becoming is sacred. So it's kind of, a really big change in my life. So that's kind of my overall summary for the story. Okay, and I'll go ahead and read. I'm actually going to read out of order, if that's okay. So I'm going to start with a few paragraphs and then go back up.
Yeah. However you want to do it. It's your voice, your time.
Okay. I needed this time to grow solid in myself. I saw both my spirit and confidence expand here. What I didn't realize is, while I took valuable steps towards embracing myself, I never truly let go of the self-doubt. I was still using external validation as proof I was acceptable. This meant I was really creating a bubble of safety around me. Just as it protected my internal process of how I arrived at my thoughts and feelings, it also protected my fears of being a misfit from being exposed. My discomfort in New Zealand showed me I remained incredibly dependent on others to understand and accept me in a fundamental way in order to feel safe expressing myself. The validation I received was another layer of lining inside that bubble, another feather in the nest. Even the way I had learned to go within to access spiritual connection was a way of reassuring my inner self. making that safety bubble even bigger. Living this way was exhausting. On the one hand, I tightly protected who I was, and on the other, I worked very hard at the outer edges to fit in and belong. This showed up in how much pressure I put on myself, in the number of responsibilities I took on. It was judging myself on standards I thought others valued. I was always going to remain a misfit in this setup. At the end of the first week in New Zealand, the feeling I might not belong was so acute. I went to my hotel room to be alone. By now, I was actively practicing connecting to my spiritual guidance, consciously connecting to the energy field in my body and heart. Show me, I asked my higher levels, how could I make authentic connection with the people in this group as myself? And it was my heart that told me what to do. Accept, she said. Accept each person as they are, where they are. And it was a message for me too. Accept myself as I am, where I am. Simply, profoundly. I made a heart choice in that moment. This shift helped me immensely. The next week, fully immersed with the Maori and off the grid, I went on to experience authentic, spontaneous moments of connection and play with so many of my mates on the trip. Pure moments of expansion, connection, and fun with people whose personality or way of being would have gotten in the way of my need to protect myself. And listening to my heart and leaning into acceptance was key. It literally opened my life up to be a playground instead of limiting my experience. And when the feeling of needing to protect myself went completely away, I got to experience moments of joy and authentic connection. This was my version of skydiving on the trip. And I'll just read a teeny bit here. So during my coming of age, I wanted more say in my life. I thought I had to get that externally from people in authority. Everywhere I looked, the places and people that valued human expression and human wellness were kept small or marginalized. They seemed to live at the edge of power. I feared being dismissed, so I hid how I thought and felt. I didn't trust how my heart and brain were wired and how I processed the world around me, because I didn't want to stand out as different. I especially didn't learn how to speak for it. It felt dangerous exposing myself. And I explained earlier that, essentially my experience early on was to watch my father put down my mother's heart and expression. As a highly intelligent engineer and systems thinker, his instinct was to criticize her heart-centered and emotional ways. Watching my mother's struggles, the synapses in my brain formed around prioritizing human needs and self-expression first, and then layered in the analytical logic and systems thinking I was learning. And so I really ended up having a difficult time expressing myself in my school environments and my work environments, and I even wrote that even though I'd received degrees from two Ivy League schools, my sense of doubt was so profound, I never felt smart. So there was a lot tied up in terms of how my brain worked and how it showed up, and how it didn't show up in the world. So I'm complete with my reading. Thank you.
Well, and thank you so much. It's like, oh my gosh, I've got like so many things I want to ask you or talk about here with this. So just taking a breath on your words for a moment and seeing what surfaces first. So the thing that I want to circle back to you taking a research sabbatical, and I want to really shine a light on this for the listeners, to really emphasize the words that you were sharing, where you were, there's the heart-centered part of you, there's the part of you that's aware of having a body wisdom, there's this brilliant mind, and all the education and knowledge and wisdom that you have. So it is the body and the heart and the mind and the integration of all of that. And so, that said, going back to research sabbatical, where you, first of all, why did you decide to do it now? And then share some of the things about what you learned during this time period.
Sure. Yeah. Well, in terms of why did I decide to do it now, I suppose it is just going right back to the title. I was in a very safe, very comfortable situation and structure. You know, I was part of this, pretty dynamic place at work. I really, really enjoyed the people that I worked with. But more and more, you know, I was really in a very numbers-driven type of situation. And as I continued to, going back to some of Sophia's descriptions with the writing, I had various conduits, but you know, it's that same process of consciousness of having your past come up, your limiting beliefs come up, and transmuting and transforming them so that it's really your real self, you know. And so I had actually completed a year-long program with a business called The Wide Awakening, and there were just so many shifts that something just shifted inside. And I have to say, like, as I moved more into my natural way of being, you could just notice, like, I would make more spelling errors, you know. I really wasn't interested in doing the math. And it just got to a place where I just didn't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And what was, what did you feel was waking up inside of you?
Well, I guess I would just have to say my heart. And it was like I wanted to be more connected to whatever my heart wanted to say to me. And I'm not saying like that's written somewhere in a book, but the more that I focused, you know, 8 or 10 hours in a day being away from it, it would make it less likely for me to really, you know, deepen that connection and hear that voice.
Mm-hmm. Almost like you had to put your heart in a box is what it sounds like in order to be functioning in the world of that you had created for yourself.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I, and Sophia will remember when I reached out to her on this, but I got, my interest got piqued in the area of getting an Akashic reading done. And I had one done, and that's what they actually said. You put your heart in a cage and step back and you say, oh, look, isn't it beautiful? That was a really big wake-up call for me in terms of how much more commitment, you know, it is not enough to just, it is wonderful to have gone forward. My research sabbatical, just to voice this, was around something that had been pulling my heart for many years, and it was I had awakened to the experience that there is a deep wisdom within our bodies at least 4 or 5 years ago, and I'd actually gotten this very clear message that in this time of intense transformation on the planet, accelerated change on the planet, that the body said, look, I have a role to play. Nobody even gets it, so can you help? And so I decided to take some time to explore that. And I looked particularly into how the body can help us communicate as, in groups and help us problem solve and create. And I looked into three practices, interplay, applied improvisation, and constellation systems. And I did that through experiential, you know, learning, obviously, and also through reading and interviewing authors.
Mm. Beautiful.
And I don't remember what.
No, I just was
no,
wondering
go ahead
if there
if you
was
have something else.
Okay. So I just wanted to say that it has been exquisite giving myself that time. But it's not enough in terms of what's being asked of me, because what's being asked of me is to really raise a new structure so that my lifestyle is more pivoted, towards living from my heart. It's definitely not impossible. I have amazing people in my life that do it every day, but it's a big change for me. Yeah.
Well, and it's been amazing also to, we've been connected through a number of different things, and definitely a deepening of the connection with Heal My Voice really since like 2012, I want to say. And we had connections before that. But there's, really having watched and participated in conversation with you, and you were the president of Heal My Voice, the board for a year, and we did events out in the world. Like, I've seen you using your voice. I've seen you with that connection to your voice. But there was a point in this process where you went to New Zealand, you led a workshop and had a number of experiences there that are in your story also. And I remember there being a point where it was like not knowing how to put words to the experience that you had had. And I feel like that's a universal thing that happens for women in a personal awakening. So I wondered if you'll speak to that a little bit.
Sure. I mean, and I'll probably just touch on it at two levels. So I would say that there's the level of kind of where the writing process begins, and you perceptually feel you have these disparate, emotions and disparate little memories or moments. Right. And you don't know what that story is. And so that was definitely one level of what was happening for me. And in fact, when I sent you my first draft, you were like, Monisha, this is a book. And you get a chapter.
Right.
And but I would also say there's a second level of what happened this time. And because the first layer is kind of super fun when you give yourself to it, because you're like listening to the pieces that come out and trying to understand the whole, right? Like you're weaving a story out of these disparate pieces, and you can't divorce your motivation. Like Sophia mentioned, creating meaning and creating beauty. Out of things that are broken. And so you can't separate your motivation from what you're doing with your writing. So in my case, what was going on at the second level is my motivation was completely broken down, because that was part of the transformation. No longer wanting to keep my heart in a cage, no longer wanting to make a beautiful story. And also that when I let my body guide me through my changes, the body, one of the body's many intelligences is movement. And I learned how to let my body move and give me information about my situation or somebody else's situation. And I learned how to read these stories that would come up. But one of the things that's inherently happening when my body is moving, it's integrating. And I don't even have to have my mind consciously know what the heck is going on. It is integrating and transforming that energy for my highest. So if I'm not even needing to really, it's kind of like if there's these clouds rising up into the air, it's like I would have needed the motivation to go run and pin them down, go out and catch these balloons and pin them down and say, what are you, what are you, what are you? And this transformation was just whatever was going on. It was like, no, just let it happen. Just let it happen. And so I wasn't even in control, and I didn't even want to be in control. And so I think that's why it was so challenging to write the story. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you were amazing and as a mirror back. And so I really, rather than focus on the body wisdom part in the story, I really just focused on this underlying shift of this safety bubble collapsing, because this was a story about innovation. And this was my year to learn that discomfort is a friend. You know, discomfort is sometimes necessary for us to innovate. You know, they call it disruption in the tech market. But when you do it in a personal body, you know, it can be much more uncomfortable.
Thank you. I want to bring Sophia in to see. Sophia, do you have anything that you want to ask Monisha or reflect on from this conversation?
I was really drawn to, what was the line, I think it was in the first paragraph or two of your story, and it was like what your heart said to you.
It said accept. Yeah, accept these people as they are, and for me to accept myself where I am right now.
Yeah, when you spoke that, it just, I can feel the energy of it. It just feels so pure and clean and good. So I loved the energy of that statement. It just felt so. And when you're talking, you know, I feel that vibrancy, which I think comes from you living from your heart and being in that emotionally grounded place. So I thought that was really cool how you talked about the two levels of, like, you know, I kind of put the emphasis on the heart and emotional sphere, and then the, like, analytical side came in under that, like, after that, kind of secondary style.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. It's fun. And then once you say that, then, you know, as I'm hearing you, I'm like, yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Totally, yeah. But it's so great to have that balance, because it makes me think about, oh, it's funny you have the image of the cage, the heart cage. So I was thinking of freedom and, like, birds. Like, the quality of being free and unfettered without any limitations allows you to be innovative. And if you start with the limitation, like, let's say we're having a brainstorming session, but we're saying, okay, we're going to brainstorm everything except things that begin with P. So for some reason, you just keep thinking about things that begin with P. Whereas if you just are coming from a place of no limitation, no bounds, no cages, then, like, it's just endless possibilities are so much easily accessed. So it's like, because you started with your place of freedom in the feeling world, then you can bring in the analytical on stage two. You can, after the brainstorming, we can strike out all the P's or whatever, but you can just let yourself go with it first.
Yeah. You can create the structure after what needs to be just gets to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and then maybe the structure will be a better fit, you know, and then maybe, like, instead of a cage, maybe it'll be, like, a beautiful cushion, just like they put little crowns on. You know, royalty has, like, a little velvet cushion that they put those on. So maybe that's, like, a better support for the heart than thing first, let it be what it wants to be, and then think about structure, it's going to be better fitting.
You know what I love about your image? It was a throne instead of a cage.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And it's like giving the heart that place of value and power and honor.
Honor. Absolutely honor. Yes.
I just got a note from Marie. I just wanted to say we're nearing the end of the show, and so I want to get this up here, but we'll continue to talk, and the show will go on. But she said that the last part of your WordPress is .com, not .org. So I'll just say for everyone, I'm gonna fix that on the website and everything in case anyone. So anyway, I jumped in with the logistics as I knew that the live streaming part of the show has now ended, and we're going to wrap this up in another minute or two. Monisha, is there anything you want to lead people to that's on your WordPress or any events that are coming up? What would you like to say to the listeners about that?
A good friend of mine has suggested to me that the workshop I created and gave in New Zealand, that perhaps I start offering it locally. So I think that is something that I am going to look into and find some venues to do that. And really, my next thing that I want to be working on, I really want to be creating like my first corporate type of training that is based in body wisdom to really enhance our ability to communicate in the workplace. I think the three things that the workshop will be about is deepening connection to power, purpose, and play. So I'm actually in the research and development portion of that right now. And then other than that, I will be posting stuff on my blog, which I'm always, like Sophia, I love when the written product pops up. So I'm always excited when I have a new post to share.
Cool. So I'm going to work on getting that link better, but it's a curious point of view. .wordpress.com. So it's on there now, but I have to work on it being clickable. So, I feel so filled up and so rich by this curiosity and creativity and writing energy. I want to just ask if either of you have anything that you want to say before I finish the show here.
I did realize I had one other thing to add. Through my research, I've created like a resources page, which I'm using as a handout in that workshop. But I think I'm going to go ahead and load it to my website when it's up, monishamattel.com. So if people want to know what some of the resource material was for the research that I did, they can take a look there.
Fantastic. Any last words, Sophia?
Just want to say thank you. It was so nice to hear Monisha's sharing as well, and I wanted to say feel your feelings and write them down, and that will help you grow.
Beautiful. All right, thank you both. Thank you to the listeners who were here and stayed for the show. I want to really emphasize that I hope that you got to feel the community of women who are in this project and to feel the way that women are supporting each other in bringing their voices out. The other thing is we're going to have a book launch and a celebration on the Heal My Voice page on Facebook, and that is on October 27th. Already we are celebrating the authors and the women who have been holding space for us. And upcoming in November, Beth Terrence and I are going to lead our annual 30 Days of Writing program. So if you're feeling inspired to dive into some writing and have 30 days of being held in a community with weekly phone calls and a secret Facebook group, you can find the information on healmyvoice.org. All right, that's it for today. Thank you both, Monisha and Sophia, for being here today. Bye-bye now.
Thank you both.
Bye.
Bye.